The views and opinions expressed by guests on Soda City Unleashed are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of CVETS. While we love sharing stories and insights from the veterinary world, this podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. It is not a substitution for professional veterinary advice, diagnosis, or treatment. We always recommend consulting your primary veterinarian for any medical concerns regarding your pet. Welcome to Soda City Unleashed, where we decode pet health with some of the best veterinary experts in Columbia, South Carolina. And today we have one of our amazing veterinary technicians with us, hey. Nikki Collins. Hi, Nikki. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Good. Wonderful. Good. Tell us about yourself, Nikki.
I am a registered veterinary nurse from England. I lived in the UK until I was, I think, 20. No, because I'm 28 now. 26 maybe? I don't know. A few years. I met my husband. He was over there serving in the Air Force, the United States Air Force. And we met and he was like, hey, you want to move to America? And I was like, okay, let's go. Like, now's the time to do it. So here I am. Been with CVETS for a few years. Having a great time.
Awesome. So you just mentioned that you're a registered veterinary nurse. That's yes. a little bit different than what we say here, which would be a veterinary technician.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so it's a little bit different. I think it's more just the terminology we use. There's a couple more things veterinary technicians can do in the US than we can in the UK. But in the UK, you're registered with the RCVS, which is the Royal College of Veterinary Surgeons, which is who I'm registered with, and I keep up with my qualification in the UK. And it's pretty much the same. It's just a little different bit of an avenue that I went down.
Different country.
Yeah, pretty much.
Different
yeah.
roles.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Okay, well, what inspired you to become a veterinary nurse?
At the stables that I kept my horse at, the owner was like, I know you're traveling really far, and like my veterinary nurse that lives in my house, she knows of a position at this referral practice nearby. So I went and interviewed, and I became it was called a theater technician. It's kind of like a circulating nurse. So I did like restocking, cleaning, clipping, running for surgeries, that kind of thing.
On horses?
No, just like
small animals.
And then they were like, I guess we're going to start up this initiative to get more veterinary nurses on board and we're going to train them. Do you want to do it? And I was like, okay, let's do it. So we did that. So we call it an apprenticeship in the UK. I don't know what you call it in the States. I think it's like, I don't know, working on the job basically. So I worked 4 days a week and then I went to college on site 1 day a week and did it that way.
So you were met someone at your stables where you kept your horses mm-hmm. and that's how you kind of...
Started working with them. And then, yeah, the practice that I was at was like, we've got like a nationwide shortage of veterinary nurses. The only way we're going to get around this is if we train more people. So they started an academy there and I trained through them and went through my OSCEs and yeah, that was that.
That's
and then
awesome.
Worked there for a few years as a registered nurse.
So then when you moved to the US, mm-hmm. what was it? How did you get to CVETS?
So I worked at a primary for about 6 months in Sumter. Had a great time there, met some really cool people. Just felt like general practice just wasn't for me. It was kind of not slow paced, but it was just not what I was used to. I was used to referral practice, which is like neurology, orthopedics, soft tissue, all of that jazz. And then Dr. Mike came in one Christmas to drop off that big platter that he does.
Right.
And I was like, where does he work? And they were like, oh, he works at CVETS. And I was like, what's CVETS? And then looked it up and I was like, yeah, man,
that's where I need
to go.
Yeah,
I gotta go, bro. So yeah, applied, originally applied to be in surgery, but then was placed in neurology because that's just where the need was. And mm-hmm. The plan was for me to then transition to surgery, but just hung out in neurology and here I am.
So we didn't mention that. You're the team lead in the neurology department, right?
Yeah, so I work with Dr. Barn and Dr. Lawler, and we have another tech, Colby, and an assistant, Cassandra, and we're hoping to get a few more people on board, and yeah, that's our team. We have a really good team.
Yeah, so yeah. When you were in the UK, did you work with the neurology department at all?
Or so we had neurology department. I was primarily like surgery, but that did cover like the surgeries in neurology.
So you see a lot of like neurological stuff like in the exam rooms and whatnot, but then you also go into surgery like mm-hmm. a lot.
Yeah. We run the MRIs. Me and Colby and Lindsay, who's in radiology, we run the MRIs and then we take them straight to surgery if that's what's indicated and then fix them and hopefully send them home again.
So not only are you doing like technician things, tasks, running the MRI, running anesthesiology, you're also like keeping the department
in
order.
Like children. You have to like it's like herding cats with those two sometimes.
Yeah, I think I don't think they're the only ones in the hospital.
No, I think surgeons are particularly good at just being like,
la, 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 la. On that note, can you walk us through what a typical day looks like for you in the neurology mm-hmm. department?
So we come in sort of about 8-ish is when most of us start. We're coming in to do our inpatient exams. That's like dogs that have already had surgery with us and are hanging out for a few days to recover. Or patients that have transferred to us through different departments, mainly the ER, but sometimes we get them from other departments. So we do those exams. The neurologist will go off and talk to the transfers to see if they need any procedures done that day. We will call and update our inpatient owners if they want us to, which is fine. And then normally our appointments start, so we'll see new consults, which is, we normally see seizure patients through new consults or like vestibular, that kind of thing.
What does that mean?
Like when you feel dizzy and when they're like.
Okay.
Yeah, so when you come in, you see the dog whose eyes are like, whoa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's vestibular. So then we'll do appointments and one of us will pull the new client in, go through a history with the owner, and then the neurologist will come in and do an exam and sort of do their recommendations. We have rechecks, so we do a lot of rechecks on our seizure patients. We keep up with them and just check that we've got their seizure management under control. And then while we're in appointments, the other neurologist is running procedures. So then one of us is in the MRI running the scanner with another one of us monitoring the patient. And then if we go to surgery, we do that straight away. Or if the surgery is a bit more in depth, we will wake them up, plan the surgery. Or if it's like a brain MRI, we can tend to wake them up. And then they usually go home the same day, depending on how they've recovered.
If they're doing an MRI.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the plan. And then sometimes our new consults will check in for MRIs. And then we have discharges in the afternoon usually, and then we're wrapping up for the day by then, hopefully.
So one of your doctors is usually seeing appointments and the other one's like available for surgeries
for procedures, kind of thing.
And then consults. They switch.
Yep. Yeah. Ah. Yeah. So someone sees appointments in the morning and then they'll do procedures in the afternoon and then the other way around. So usually whoever's seeing appointments, if they check in, we scan those in the afternoon. And then if we have transfers that need surgery, they get cut by the neurologist who's on procedures in the morning.
And something I learned when I started at CVETS, cut is just casual term
for surgery.
For surgery. Because they're literally, someone was like, oh, he's cutting today. And I was like, he's doing what?
Yeah.
Can you explain that?
Yeah. It's just a general term. It's just easy.
How many patients, like a normal day, how many patients would you see?
So we normally have two new consults or three per neurologist, and they'll have maybe four or five rechecks as well.
Wow.
And then on a good day, if we're hustling, we can get four MRIs done, but it's normally about three.
Because MRIs, with humans, I know I've had an MRI or a CT, I can't remember which one, but we can be told to sit still
dogs don't
be
do
still.
That.
Animals do not do that. So. No.
They have to go under general anaesthetic. So there's, we work very closely with Dr. Cedric, our anaesthesiologist at CVETS, and she puts a plan in and tells us what drug to use and what to look for. And then we'll induce the patient, intubate, monitor them while they're in the MRI, and then monitor them when we go to surgery as well. So yeah, that's another.
So
another
you guys
thing
are,
to
yeah, you're doing anesthesia like,
yeah,
every
all
day,
the time, yeah, all the time, yeah. We do a lot of anaesthesia,
which is a lot. Like, yeah. You have to monitor all their levels, their blood pressure, make sure everything's.
Yeah, yeah.
Little guys in there. I know, that's, yeah. It's not just like, stick them in the MRI. It's, all right, now we need to sedate, intubate.
IV, blood work, x-rays, all that, yeah.
Woo!
It's good fun, yeah.
It's a lot. Yeah, so you guys do a lot.
Yeah.
And your department, too, you're not necessarily, when I first started, I was like, oh, Nikki's with, Bond and so-and-so's with Lawler, and it's not like that. You guys
just a big blended department.
Yeah, yeah. You help where you can and
jump in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then you guys also will have patients who have had surgery and they're inpatients in the hospital, right?
Yeah, so
you
they'll hang out for a few days after surgery and make sure they're urinating and trying to get them walking again if they're able to, and yeah, that kind of thing. We do a lot of rehab as well in-house. So we have Dr. Dunphy and Kaylee. They do laser therapy and acupuncture and stuff, and that's really good for the patients and just like kickstarts their healing, which I think is a really vital part of it.
That's one of the amazing things about CVETS is we have all
just
those departments,
all the departments though,
right,
yeah,
to just work together and our little walkie-talkies so we can say hey.
Hey,
hey. That's awesome. Well, what would you say are some of the most rewarding parts of your job?
Something that's fixable. So like when we have a down Dachshund or a down Frenchie and they come in and
explain to me what that means.
So when they're like down in their hind end and they're like dragging their back legs and they can't use them anymore.
Okay.
We call that a down dog or down in rear. So then usually we do an MRI and surgery, and then hopefully the plan is by the time we send them home or within a few days after sending them home, they're walking and peeing. And that it's definitely a long road to recovery. I think owners are often quite shocked how long the road to recovery is, but the spinal cord has to heal and everything has got to heal. Otherwise, it just re-injures themselves, which we have had, unfortunately, when patients are maybe not rested or some of them just, we had a dog recently, the owner just came home from being out to dinner and she'd done everything right and just came from dinner and the dog jumped up in its crate and re-injured itself and had to have surgery again. And yeah, she was back to square one, which was really frustrating. And yeah, but that was
the there's one. Like only so much you can do.
Yeah, like he literally just jumped up because he was excited and popped it back out. And if we have like a critical patient and even just hearing the doctor talking to the owner and being like he's turned a corner and like things are looking a lot better, like it sends a little shiver down my spine. Warms my little cold heart. Oh yeah, I guess.
Because you're literally playing a role in getting that animal better.
Yeah.
So, that's really fun. You have a dog yourself.
I do, yes. Mia.
Yeah,
the best, most traveled dog you'll ever meet. She we adopted her in the UK and my husband was like, we're not getting a dog, we'll get a dog in America. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, oh, this is foster dog that needs a home. So she came home and then after a week the rescue emailed me and they're like, we're ready to take her. And I was like, I don't think he went here to go. And Talon was like, fine.
You might be ready, but I am not.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, so she lives with us now. And then yeah, she flew from the UK with us and yeah, she hangs out here. She's she loves the heat, I think. She likes to lay out in the sun. Even as a black Labrador, she just goes and lays out just a little heat.
This is the place to be for that. Yeah. I like to imagine her with an English accent.
I think she does, yeah. She's definitely a British Labrador.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you have to say everything in a British accent with her or she doesn't understand.
Or she doesn't get it. Yeah. She won't listen.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, what is something about the vet tech role or even like the vet assistant role that people outside of vet med don't really probably wouldn't understand?
I think just we kind of touched on it, but like all the different roles that a vet tech does, like we will see the patient in our ER, our vet techs are triaging. Mm-hmm. In neuro, we're doing the consults and then we're all placing IVs, we're taking blood, x-rays. So we're phlebotomists, radiologists, laboratory, we're pulling drugs. So we're pharmacists. we're doing everything in ICU. They're placing central lines, PICC lines, and everyone's getting trained in all of these roles. And I think people don't realize that obviously doctors play a massive role, but also the vet techs.
Absolutely. The extent.
A massive support system there. And yeah, monitoring them during anesthetic and like knowing when we have to get Dr. Cedric involved and like when you start getting worried about a patient. And then in surgery, like we can scrub in. Some techs are trained to close. I'm not because I would take too long.
Close meaning like close a
suture the wound shut. And that kind of thing. And then cleaning the OR. And then all of our inpatient nurses, they do such an incredible job of like knowing, being like, this patient doesn't seem right, like we've taken them off their IV drugs to see how they're doing and they seem painful. So it's just like a whole like interweave, like thing of like everyone working together and all the roles that the vet techs play. And
at the end of the day, these animals can't tell you.
Yeah, exactly. So when
you have to,
yeah, when your inpatient nurse comes in, they're like, they're just not right, and like I know we've maybe shut off their fentanyl and I think maybe we need to reevaluate that. So it's like working together and yeah, just all the different roles that all the vet techs play. And
I think it's like incredible. Someone who, I mean, I was not in vet med before I came to see vets, and I don't know what I assumed, but when I brought my dog to the vet, I'd mm-hmm. be like, well, they'll clip his nails and you mm-hmm. know, like they bring him in and out and get his weight and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But like,
yeah,
just walking around the floor at CVETS and seeing all the things that I mean, like down on the ground, like someone mm-hmm. holding someone
the
else holding
you get to hold a dog are incredible.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a great time.
Splayed out.
As soon as if the dog's gonna stay there, then you don't move. If you can get the IV in that way, then
that's how it's gotta
how
be.
It is. If your leg goes dead, you're fine. You can just get up and shake it off.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it really is. I mean, even like being in the surgery prep area, all the different things that are going on there, like some nurses are able to do the blocks.
Yep.
What it, the can local you explain blocks, me what a block
like
is?
A nerve block. So we'll go in usually with an ultrasound so we can visualize the nerve, and they go in with a needle and they get an anesthetic in there to block the nerve.
Almost like a epidural, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Yeah. So it's just stopping the brain being like, that really hurts, because that can like wake your patient up during surgery. And it also helps the recovery because they're just not as painful and it's just
right.
Everyone's happier.
Yeah.
They need less drugs during their anesthetic and it's just everything's much better.
So like
on the
technicians can do that.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
is yeah. incredible.
Yeah, some of our technicians are trained to do epidurals as well. Wow. So yeah, they do. We knew all sorts.
Everything. Everything.
And I think that's a big thing that people don't realise, that they're all like, oh, you just get to go to work and cuddle puppies. And I mean, we do get to cuddle puppies, which is great, but there's definitely not. That's not our only role. That is not the only role by any means.
When I was shadowing neurology when I first started, that was like, I think, the most emotional I feel I was, because sometimes, you know, an owner can't afford a $10,000 surgery and, you know, there's just not much else you can do because, unfortunately, medicine costs money. And how do you handle the emotional side of all the veterinary care that you do?
I think we're all very good at compartmentalizing, but also like knowing when you need to take a minute and just like, just kind of feel your emotions and be like, that like really upset me. Like we had a patient recently who was a long-term seizure patient of ours, and then she unfortunately went down in the rear. Unfortunately, the patient got euthanized for another reason, but just like, you form bonds with the owner, you form bonds with the dog, and like you feel it not as hard as the owner, obviously, but it really does hurts your little heart sometimes. Yeah. And just being able to be like, I just need a minute to just like feel it.
Right.
And then just being able to be like, okay, like
keep it moving.
Yeah. Now we've got to go again. Now we've got to get the next MRI in and get the next dog going. But and I think working with a team that can recognize when you need a break.
Yeah.
Like if you have a rough time, like if we do a brain MRI and we find a tumor, like sometimes that we just need to be able to be like, I just need a second to just breathe. I think that's a huge part of just working as a team. And but then we also do try and have a lot of laughs. Like we definitely make fun of Dr. Barn a lot.
And that helps.
Yeah, that helps us cope with it. And Dr. Lawler, they're a good bunch to work with, so we definitely we have a good laugh in neurology, which is I think a big part of it.
I'm sure having a close team like you guys have helps with that emotional side too, because you can all like be empathetic towards each other and know like, man, that sucked. But we have to keep it moving.
Yeah, it's definitely the way forward.
Something I don't see in my side, I don't ever really interact with clients. So you're making these bonds with the animals, but then also the client and watching them go through all of that too, and being a human being. And,
you know, definitely feel it. Yeah, it can definitely be rough, and you just have to just keep going sometimes.
Keep it moving. Take the good with the bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then you have all those wonderful success stories.
Yeah, exactly. We definitely have a lot of success stories, and unfortunately that's kind of the way the cookie crumbles, that they're not always a success, but
we try.
Yeah,
we do. What is one skill or quality that you think every vet tech should have?
I think time management is a huge factor of just being able to like looking at a busy day and just being like, this isn't realistic. We don't want to get owners' hopes up that we can get this done today. And actually, we have another emergent case that comes in, and just being able to be like, for me to provide appropriate and good care for this patient, I need to be able to focus, that I don't need to rush. And being able to take the initiative, like if you are done, being able to be like, okay, what do we have tomorrow? What can I start getting prepared? And that is definitely
just looking at everything like above. Not necessarily.
I think being able not to take things personally, like it's a very high stress environment, and like we do snap at each other sometimes, unfortunately, and just being able to like look at the bigger situation and being like, they're having an off day, you don't know what they've got going on at home, like just take it with a pinch of salt and just okay, like just carry on,
keep moving.
And a lot of the time you'll come to that person later and they'll be like, I really didn't mean to snap at you, just caught me at a bad time. And yeah, you just have to just work as a team and just keep moving forward.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I would just cry.
Well, I try
just
not
sit
to.
And cry.
I don't think I'm capable of crying, so.
Great.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right, Nikki, without naming names, if you can, what do you have a favorite wild or weird case that you've worked on?
So in my old practice, we actually did spinal surgery on a ferret, which was cool. Yeah.
I almost feel like they don't have spines.
They
have
do.
See, they like fold.
I know, they're crazy. But yeah, he had a ruptured disc, so he had surgery. And because they're really good at bending around, he was actually able to open up his incision, which was super fun. So we had to knock him back down and do it again.
Oh, but, my goodness. Yeah.
And then recently at CVETS, we did an MRI on the Fisher cat from the Riverbank Zoo, which was really cool. Being up close and personal with her. And also all the departments that were able to come together like while she was here, because she saw like every department at CVETS while she was here. And then we also had a French bulldog recently. It was a puppy that came in down the rear, which is unusual for them to have it that young. He was right. Like 5 months old or something. They did an x-ray and there was something weird in his thoracic vertebrae. So Dr. Barn recommended a CT.
What is that?
So that thoracic vertebrae is where your ribs attach to. Like that's part of the spine, okay. Where the ribs attach. So you have okay. Your cervical, thoracic, lumbar.
Gotcha.
So that was in his thoracic vertebrae. They did a CT and it did unfortunately look like the dog had a tumor.
Oh my goodness.
And everyone was like, oh my God, this is awful. Like this dog's like 5 months old. So Dr. Barn worked with Dr. Stevenson and did a fine needle aspirate with an ultrasound guide. And they were able to get a sample of it. We sent it off through our lacuna and got a read on from a pathologist. And it actually turned out to be a fungal infection. So we treated him with a antifungal. And we actually saw him back this week. And he's 8 months old. No, 10 months old now, I think. And he's a normal dog. He's running, playing, having a great time, living his best life. And it was just, yeah, it was incredible to see that this dog was so close to euthanasia. But
right.
His owner stuck with it and did all the investigations. And yeah, it came back that it was something treatable. And now he's a normal dog.
Oh
yeah.
My goodness.
He still has a crazy spine because all Frenchies have crazy spines.
Of course they do.
Yeah, he's like a normal dog. It was incredible.
So like you went through the emotions of like the first read being like, oh my gosh, this is so tragic.
Like he's so young. And we see the owner, they also have another French bulldog with us that we see for seizures. So we knew the owner really well. And Mom was like, this is awful. Like it's going to crush him. And yes, and when that came back, it was still like a guarded prognosis, but he responded so well to the antifungals. Like he's off meds now and we're going to see him back in a couple of months and see how he's doing. But yeah, otherwise he's
wow,
living his best life. Yeah,
that's incredible.
Yeah.
And like being able to, you know, thinking of like the layout of our hospital, like go from the scan to just like pop over to an ultrasound.
Yeah, well, like, we're just gonna pop in here now. Like, yeah. And Dr. Stevenson's really good as well. And it's just another example of like how all the departments just like
work together.
Yeah.
To really try and get the best outcome.
Yeah. Yeah. And do everything all in one. Because you don't want to keep waking a dog up and anesthetizing it. So yeah, again, it all done at once. And yeah, I think we had the answer. I think we saw him on a Friday and we had the answer by Monday or something.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, that was favorite wild or weird things. What's mm-hmm. maybe like the funniest or most unexpected thing a pet has done while you're caring for them?
So we were running a brain MRI on a dog who got referred to us by surgery. He was having trouble eating, I think was the problem. And they were planning to do a surgery with him. And then Dr. Lawler took a look and was like, there's something weird with his cranial nerves. We should probably do a brain MRI. And I got the first pictures up. You've seen the scanner that we see a little like preview up in the corner. It had like black dots in it. And I sent a picture to Dr. Lawler and I was like, what is the black dots? And she didn't reply, but another one of our texts did as a joke and was like, it's neurocystic sarcosis, which is worms in the brain. And I laughed and I had a tech next to me running the anesthesia monitoring and I said, oh my God, this dog has got worms in its brain. And she got on Arvo Sarah's and called the surgeon and was like, this dog's got worms in its brain. And it just spread like wildfire in the practice that this dog had worms in its brain. Like people are running down to the MRI control room to see the scans. Like people are calling us. People are going to Dr. Lawler being like, this dog has worms in its brain. What do you do? The surgeon nearly called the owner telling them the dog's had worms. And then Dr. Lawler was like,
pause.
It's just blood vessels. Can we all just calm down for a second?
Literally blood vessels.
The surgeon was freaking out. Like, what do I tell this owner? And then Dr. Lawler.
I'm so sorry.
Dr. Lawler was like, pause, hold. It's not worms in the brain.
Not sure it's how just this started. Vessels.
Yeah, it was just spread like wildfire around the practice. And like, everyone's looking at these scans. And yeah, it was just.
They're like, do you see the worm there? It's like, no, it's
yeah,
blood.
And I just, yeah.
Can that happen?
I think when I asked Dr. Lawler, she said it's not.
Nothing. No. Well, if it does ever happen and come in, no one's going to believe you.
No one's going to believe us. Yeah, it's like the boy that cried wolf. Everyone's going to be like, shh.
Stop it.
Right. Until burns. We like pull one out.
That's something we're starting. Our cardiologist is going to start doing heartworm extractions soon.
She's done them before.
Yeah, but she's going to like regularly do them. Yeah.
Oh. I didn't think we don't have heartworms in the UK. So that was like a thing when I got to the States that dogs can get heartworms. And I sort of like ringworm is like a fungal. It's not actually a worm. I didn't think heartworms were actually a worm. And then someone showed me a video and I was like, oh, there's actually worms in the heart.
That is a worm.
So that kind of, that blew my mind. We also don't have rabies. So if we were to move back to the UK for whatever reason, Mia would either have to go into quarantine or she would have to have a rabies titer done before to prove that she doesn't have rabies.
Wow.
Because it's been eradicated in the UK for however long. Yeah.
So you had to start me on a heartworm preventative when she came here.
Yes.
Dang.
And I was like, what are you all talking about? They're like, and she needs a rabies vaccination. I was like, sorry, what?
She has to do it.
I was like, well, I'm going to go back now. You have like creepy crawlies.
It's like Australia. They have those giant. Oh. Yeah.
Like, I wonder if widows and stuff here, like snakes. Oh, no.
Yeah, because you guys don't have snakes.
Anything poisonous in the UK. Like, it's safe. Like, Mia could go swimming anywhere. And we got here and they were like, she'll get eaten by an alligator.
Oh, man. All right. Well, back on track. What advice would you give? What advice would you give to someone thinking about becoming a vet tech?
I think I touched on it earlier, but just... No, not to take things personally. Like, when a client's getting frustrated with you about cost or like about their dog's outcome, they're not frustrated with you, they're frustrated at the situation. And right. Just being able to take a step back and like being able to look at the bigger picture and just be like, this isn't at me, this is at the situation. It's still very difficult to deal with, and it doesn't make it okay when people are frustrated with you, right. But just being able to be like, just keep going, like, it's okay, like, understanding and just
putting yourself in their shoes.
Yeah, exactly. And just moving forward with it.
Yeah. And even like probably interpersonal too, like when you're in a high stakes situation.
Yeah, exactly. And people will snap, and then like if you mention it to them afterwards, they're like, oh, like in the middle of a code, and like you ask someone something and you're probably gonna get an answer because they're doing CPR and
right,
you're like, that was really rude, and they're like, yeah, sorry, my bad.
But just being able to, these are, you're pointing out things that would, I do not have, so I could not,
not be able to tick.
Like someone looks at me weird and I'm like.
Yeah, there's a lot of like mental health issues within vet med for doctors as well, not just for vet techs. And I think just, you have to be strong mentally to even cope with like the situations that you see. Like we see dogs come in through the ER in like horrible states, and yeah, you just have to like be able to deal with that and see
turn it off and start working.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And just help the pet as best you can, because we all just want to help pets at the end of the day.
It's probably good to be able to know when you need a minute, like you were saying.
Yeah, exactly. Being able to recognize when you're maybe reaching burnout, and just being able to reach out to someone and just being like, I'm really like getting to the end of my tether, and recognizing that
I need a minute.
Yeah.
If you could go way back and give your day one you a piece of advice, what would it be?
I think it would probably be, I keep saying it, but just keep moving forward. It's okay to make mistakes. And a big part of vet med is being able to own up to your mistakes. If you've given the wrong drug or the wrong dose, if we don't tell the doctors that we've made this mistake, they can't fix it. So like, we're all human, we all make mistakes. And yeah, just being able to own up to that. And just being able to say, like, if someone asks you to do something, it's okay not to know and not to be comfortable with it. They can show you how to do it and teach you how to do it so you know for next time, but don't put yourself in a situation that puts a pet in danger.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Nikki. Is there anything else you want to share? Any secrets to the veterinary world?
No. Iced coffee. It'll probably melt because you can't get to it. And donuts.
Donuts.
DoorDash. Definitely get DoorDash. You can order food.
I said that when Dr. Bond was here, I was like, you guys always have the best snacks in neurology.
We do. Yeah, we do.
You guys are always.
We have to like hide them, otherwise ER come in. And we have to be like, nope.
These are right.
You can hit these.
All right. Well, until next time, give your pets an extra pet from us. And thank you for joining us for Soda City Unleashed.